Welcome, folks. We're going to celebrate communion at the end of my message today, so I'd encourage you just to put the message on pause for a moment right now and go and get yourself some juice or crackers or something you can use for the communion service. So just go do that right now. Welcome back. Glad you did come back. So I'm going to talk about being hurt today. And I know that's sort of an odd thing when we're talking about Christmas, but I think you'll see how it all winds up in the end. We all have been hurt over the years by other people. Some of it has been unintentional, and sometimes that hurt has been intentional even. For some, the hurt causes deep wounds in our hearts. The pain can linger for a long time, even years, if we don't deal with it. As I was reading through the Christmas story, I realized the hurt and pain which Joseph must have experienced that first Christmas, which was to be good news and great joy to all people. There was hurt leading up to it. You see, hurt and pain can come any day of the year, even at Christmas. Can we take a few moments today to look at Joseph's life and what we can learn from him and about how we can deal with hurt? The Bible doesn't have a lot to say about Joseph. Most believe he was a young carpenter, maybe around 17 years old, and he lived in a town called Nazareth. So we're going to pick up our story in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. And the first half of verse 18 says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph." Now, being pledged to be married refers to an ancient Jewish marriage custom. In those days, most marriages were arranged by parents with or without the children's approval. The two sets of parents would meet and draw up a formal marriage contract. And when the contract was signed, the man and the woman were legally pledged to each other. The length of the pledge would last up to a year, and at the end of that time, they were formally married in a public wedding ceremony. The closest thing we might have to being pledged to be married today would be like an engagement. Yet that's probably not even that close. Yet it's more probably like and better described as being married but not living together, as during this time, the couple were still called husband and wife. The man, if he was to die during that pledge time, the woman would become and classified as a widow. The only way to break this pledge was through a legal divorce. I read that the main reason for the one-year pledge was to test the commitment and faithfulness of the couple to one another. So Joseph is pledged to be married to Mary. Now, we read in the last half of Matthew 1, verse 18, which declares, "But before they came together, she was found to be a child through the Holy Spirit." We don't know how long Joseph and Mary had been pledged to be married before Joseph finds out his bride-to-be is pregnant, and he knows the child is not his. There is the painful hurt, folks, which Joseph experienced that first Christmas. Mary was pregnant and not with Joseph's child. We're not sure if Mary told Joseph about the angel's visit that she had and all that he said to her, or maybe she didn't tell him that at all. But we can only imagine the things that must have gone through Joseph's head. This is a nightmare. How could Mary let this happen? I thought she loved me. Joseph might have struggled with many different emotions like anger, confusion, frustration, embarrassment, shame, and disappointment as he was trying to process all that is happening. Let's read on in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I believe Joseph really loved Mary. He is being hurt. But we see a number of things in this verse which reveal how Joseph handled this hurt. Not sure if you remembered me saying in a message a while back that hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. Joseph could have easily gone down this road in his thinking and his actions. For there were two ways for a man to divorce a woman at that time. He could divorce her publicly by going before a judge at the city gate where all the people were gathered, which would mean the whole town would know about it. Mary would have been shamed and might, well, probably would have been stoned to death. The other way was that he could get a private divorce by giving the woman papers in the presence of only two witnesses. Well, we read that Joseph was considering the private divorce. As we read, he had it in his mind to divorce her quietly. I mean, at this point, Joseph had not come to any conclusion on what to do. Joseph was probably considering this action as he was a righteous man. I mean, this means Joseph wants to do what is right. Joseph would have known the Torah. The Torah, that's the first five books of the Bible, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And he would have known Leviticus 19:18, part of the law, where we read, "Do not seek revenge or bear judgment against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Joseph knew in his heart the only reason he would divorce Mary publicly would be to get revenge, to get his pound of flesh for the hurt she had caused him. Yet he knew this wasn't right. We've all been hurt. Maybe not the same way Joseph was hurt, but life is full of hurts. It might have been from a family member, a friend, another Christian, maybe a bully or an abusive person. Maybe it was a physical hurt, or worse yet, emotional hurt. Maybe you lost a job unfairly, or you were betrayed by a good friend through gossip. That hurt might have been a long time ago, or just yesterday. The reason for the hurt may differ, or who the hurt came from may differ. But the pain of the hurt is still there, and it's real. We all must work through our hurt. How do we handle that hurt? Do we do what we can to get revenge? I mean, Joseph didn't take revenge because of an Old Testament scripture, part of the law, but we're not under the law any longer. So, can I get my pound of flesh? Well, let's just read in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, where we read, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." I think this is pretty clear. We are told, do not take revenge, as it is the Lord's responsibility. I mean, why would it be the Lord's responsibility? Well, probably because when he takes revenge, he will do it justly. And if we take revenge, we would do it in the flesh. We as Christians are to walk in righteousness, which means we are to do the right thing. As hurt people, we are not to retaliate. We must pray and ask Jesus to help us through the pain and the hurt, to heal us, so through him, we will eventually have the strength to flee. I think he loved her. He loved her with the Father's love, with an unconditional love. Oh, Joseph was hurt when he found out Mary was pregnant, but he allowed the Father's love to flow in him to heal first his own hurt, so that his hurt didn't remove the love he had for Mary. Isn't that what the whole Christmas story is all about? Love? For God was hurt by our sins, but he loved the world so much, he still sent his one and only Son so we could be made right with him. Each one of us needs to allow the love of our Heavenly Father to flow into every crevice of our heart. That love, God's unconditional love, will heal our hurt, which can hold us so captive. The Father's love heals the hurts of our sins, which keeps us separated from him. It heals the many hurts we've experienced from others over the years. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Isn't that what Joseph did? Didn't his love for Mary want to keep her from being publicly disgraced? Didn't his love want to cover over her sin? Isn't that what God's love did for us? It takes away our shame, our condemnation. It covers, actually it removes our sin, his love. We are called to love one another, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love would call us not to give into the fleshly desire to gossip and spread rumors about others. Yes, that's right. Even if they are true, we are not to talk about them with others. You know, the only two people we can talk about our issues with are, first, our Heavenly Father, and secondly, the person we have the issue with. Outside of that, it's a no-go zone. Christmas is about love. We need the love the Father poured into us to experience the healing we need, so that love will flow out of us to those around us, no matter who they are. See, everyone deserves the Father's love, both at Christmas and every time of the year. As I continue to read on in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, I notice something else in the first few words of the verse. It says, "But after he considered this." Joseph was considering what to do in the situation he found himself in. The word "considered" here has the idea of meditating on or thinking deeply about something. In other words, Joseph thought deeply about his struggle, his hurt. He didn't respond quickly or react. He thought about it over a period of time. I can't tell you how long he took. All I can say is he did not make any rash decisions or just fly off the handle. Oh, I'm so guilty here. Just a while ago, I felt hurt. And rather than considering what was going on, rather than thinking deeply about the whole situation, I was too quick to pick up the phone. This caused some undue trouble and turmoil in my own life and in the lives of the others involved. I did apologize and ask for forgiveness, but so much pain and angst could have been avoided if I had only thought deeply before doing anything. Most of us know James 1:19, where we are exhorted, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Slow to speak and slow to become angry can only mean one thing. We need to consider what is going on. We must think deeply and pray about situations before we make judgments or decisions. When we don't think deeply and pray about things, we usually will only compound the hurt in our own lives and in the lives of others. It even might mean the outcome of the whole situation could be different than what it would have been. I mean, think of what might have happened if Joseph had reacted quickly. The whole Christmas story might have been different. But because Joseph's godly handling of his own hurt, which he experienced, we read in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph handled his hurt, his pain, with being righteous, doing what was right, with love, and thinking deeply before reacting. As Joseph did this, he opened himself up to hear the word for him from the Lord. An angel comes to Joseph in a dream and assures him that Mary is the one he should marry because things are not what they look like on the outside. Mary has done nothing wrong. This is all about God. He is the one who is fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the coming of the Christ child. He is the one who brought these two young people together. He is the father of the Christ child to be born. He is the one who chose Joseph and Mary to be used at this time for his glory. It's all about God. How often do we think, when we have been hurt, that it might be all in God's plan? He knows all about it and is using it all for his glory. It's just a thought. Do we think about that from time to time when we're hurt? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do and took Mary home to be his wife. That first Christmas, Joseph experienced hurt that probably cut deep into his heart. As I mentioned earlier, we all experience hurt. It might be physical, emotional, or verbal. The pain can pierce deep into our hearts. We don't have to live with that pain as we start to think deeply about what is or has happened. For as we do, we will pray and seek God's direction. If we are like Joseph, we will be righteous if we will do the right thing. We will start to see the healing come. Righteousness encourages us not to repay evil for evil. When we add love to that righteousness, to doing the right thing, we will not bring disgrace upon others or ourselves. And the healing that started because of the righteousness with love added will even grow deeper within our hearts and the hearts of others. By doing this, we open ourselves up to hearing a word from our Heavenly Father and are able to be used by him. You see, sorrow, weeping, and pain may last through the night, but rejoicing and joy comes in the morning. The healing of our hurt, which brings that rejoicing in the morning, starts at the cross. We are going to take a moment to remember what Jesus did on that cross. Jesus suffered a great amount of hurt and pain so we might be healed of our hurt. You know, Jesus really does know about hurt. He was hurt physically as he was taken to the cross and nailed upon the cross. He was hurt emotionally as he saw those he was dying for suffering in their sin. He was hurt verbally by the insults that were hurled at him on the cross. But none of those things stopped him from going to the cross and paying the price so that we could be made right with our Father, so that we could receive the healing we need for the hurt that has been caused to us. So we're going to remember communion. I would encourage you to get those elements that you got for yourself. And I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And then in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. For your love sent your Son, your one and only Son, Jesus, to come to earth and to pay the price for our sins, that we might be set free from our sins, from the hurt, and from the pain that we suffer, because you've made a way that we can abide in you. So, Lord, thank you for these emblems. May we never forget what you've done for us. The Lord Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the emblem of the bread together. Then in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the cup together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Christmas season. We thank you for stories like Mary and Joseph, which really reveal the truth of ordinary people being used by you. We thank you for the lessons we can learn from them. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that you would heal our hurts, Father, that we would be righteous, and when we are hurt, Father, we wouldn't act out, but we would do what is right. Father, that we wouldn't want to get that pound of flesh, but we would follow what you said in your word and listen. Father, that we would love and allow your love to heal us so that we, your love, could flow in us and through us to those around us, especially to those who've hurt us. And that they would no longer be our enemies, but through your love, we would see healing. Father, may we never react, but may we respond. May we think deeply. May we pray. Lord, Christmas is all about love. May that love of Christmas flow in us and through us. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.